Our entire culture is built on sight. What we see. We trust what we can measure. We analyze. I can analyze it. We trust what we can photograph. We trust what we can prove. We make decisions based off of feelings, off of circumstances, off of our bank account, off of doctor's reports, off of breaking news. But can I tell you, the Christian life doesn't operate this way. That's how the world operates. These are the world's way of doing business, but God's business has never been set up that way. God never intended for us as his children to be led by what we see, but instead he calls us to be led by what he has said, by what he has told us. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:7. It should be such a key verse today. It's really short, so let's say it out loud together, the whole thing. You ready? For we walk by faith, not by sight. One more time. For we walk by faith, not by sight. This is how we're called to walk, by faith, not by what we see. Walking is how we live our life. Every day we walk. Pastor, I can't walk. I'm in a wheelchair. Well, every day we can wheel. If you're listening online, I can't get out of bed. Every day you can lay. The principle here was, is something that we do all the time, every day. It's a daily thing. See, the question is not whether or not we're walking. That's not the real question. The real question for all of us today is, what's leading our steps? Who are we following? Is it what we see, or is it what God has spoken? See, look at this statement. Sight may inform you, but faith transforms you. Faith is what transforms us. Faith is what moves us from a timid Christian to a strong, bold Christian. Faith is what forms us from a weak Christian to a person who is sold out following God, walking in the blessings of the Lord. It's faith. Faith is what moves us. How many got to visit the ocean this summer? Raise your hand if you got to visit the ocean this summer on vacation. Keep your hand raised high. We don't like you. People are like, yeah, I saw you posting your Instagram story. You on the beach and your little drink with the umbrella looking all cute. Yeah, yeah, yeah. While the rest of us are slaving here. I get it. I get it. I get it. You visited the ocean. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I hope you had a great time. Hope you enjoyed the ocean just like I do when I get a chance to go. You know, when we go, there's one thing that we see is, oftentimes there's flags put out that tell us the conditions of the water, right? Some days you're not allowed to go in. It's just too windy. Some days there's rip currents that are out there, rip tides that are happening. So it's dangerous to go in. And so when these flags are out, the warnings, don't go in. You know, the reason why rip tides are so dangerous is you don't see them. If you're not trained for it, you don't notice them. And so it's easy to get out in a rip tide and to just kind of slowly start getting sucked into this riptide, and you don't know it until it's too late. And then you can't get out. You didn't start off just jumping into the middle of a riptide. You kind of slowly drifted away into it. You know, I've talked to so many people over the decades of ministry that I've been privileged to be a part of. And I've heard people say the same thing over and over again. I didn't mean to lose faith. I didn't mean to get out of church. It just slowly happened. No one means to get out of church. No, people don't mean to get out of church. It just kind of slowly happens over time without even knowing what's happening. You know, it's easy. You know, you can, we had to miss because of travel ball this season, and then her travel ball started up the following season, and then he's tried to do this, and next thing you know, 4 years has passed. 5 years and you've drifted out of church. Families are messed up. I don't know what happened to my kids. I don't know why they turned, why I'm having so much problem. Could it be? Could it be that we slowly drifted out and didn't keep our children plugged into the thing that's most important in their life? We're guardians of that, parents. We're guardians of that. We got to make sure. Listen, I'm all for travel ball. My kids played travel ball. I'm all for being a part of sports and activities. You guys know I had 5 children. We did our best. We guarded Sundays as much as possible. But man, we were busy traveling and doing a lot of things, playing sports. And they turned out just fine. They did good. They did good. One or two of them actually did decent. Anyway, that's another story. But and what I'm telling you is this, that, you know, your 8-year-old's not getting drafted into the NFL tomorrow. This is not going to happen, okay? But there's a 100% chance they're going to meet Jesus one day, and we got to make sure we have them ready, right? So I'm not talking about missing vacation. I'm not talking about short seasons of periods of time, but we make sure as much as we can we got our family in there so we don't slowly get caught up in drifting away. You know, God never contradicts his word. God will never contradict his word. And I've had people say things, or I heard people say things like this, you know, God told me to quit going to church. I'm like, what? So you're telling me God's word, which the Bible says, if an angel appears to you and says anything contradictory to this word, that we're not to believe it. But God told you, you're special. You don't need to go to church. Take your family and sit out for a year. That is, God's not going to speak something to you that is contradictory to his word, which says, don't forsake assembling yourselves together, as some grow in the habit of doing. God's word says we honor the Sabbath day. We keep the first day of the week. We give it to him. And so we understand something happening here, that my feelings will lie to me. My feelings will tell me, do this. And no one I've met slowly meant to get out and lose their faith. It just kind of slowly happens when you least expect it and you didn't plan on it. See, Hebrews 11:6, look what it says. It says this, without faith, it is what? To please him. If we're going to please God, we have got to understand, we got to have a working knowledge of faith in our life. And we got to develop. The more we develop our faith, the more we please God. And the more it unlocks so much into our life, as we're going to understand and see today. It's easy to walk by faith when life is good. I've never met anybody who didn't have it when it's going well, that they're like, man, it's easy to believe God. It's easy to trust God. It's easy to walk in faith when your life is good. The real test of faith is when life is tough, can you do it? When life stinks, can you do it? When life gets challenging, can you do it? That's the secret. See, that's when it takes faith. It doesn't take faith to walk it out when life's going well. It takes faith to walk it out when life is tough. And the secret is this: God rewards. God will reward those who walk in faith when life gets tough. Faith is the key to walking rewarded of God. So I want to pull in, because I want you to live your life rewarded, favored of the Lord. We will learn today that our faith matters more to God than our failures. We're going to see this today. And so how do we do this? Number one, write this down. I want you to learn to just pick your head up. Look up. Look up. How many of us live our life every day looking for the bad? We get up expecting the bad. We get up expecting to get bad news. We get up expecting bad things to happen. We get up expecting that negative things are going to happen to me. It's just when it's going to happen. I'm looking for it. We're not going to get that text. We're not going to get that message. We're not going to get that bad news. And we're always looking for something bad to happen. And when you're looking for something bad to happen, you're going to find it. What we seek, we will find. We're always looking down, always expecting something to go wrong, always looking at our phones. I mean, We're always looking down in expectation, looking down, not paying attention. But look at Hebrews 11, 1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for, and it is the evidence of the things we cannot see yet. This is not the definition of faith. This is a description of faith. Faith says, even when my eyes see trouble, even when my eyes see difficulty, my spiritual glasses I put on sees beyond that, and I see that, God, you're in control. I see, God, you're going to cause all things to work together for my good. God, I see that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. God, you are going to help me through this difficult season. That's faith. When we walk in this kind of faith, it pleases God, and he rewards this kind of faith with you and I. See, faith gives me confidence of what my eyes can't see yet. See, faith sees what your coworkers cannot see. Faith sees what your doubters can't see. Faith sees what your haters can't see. Faith sees what your enemy can't see. Faith sees, God, you are in control. Look at verse 2 of Hebrews 11. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. How many want respect in the house? We all want respect, right? Just a little more R-E-S-P-T. Come on, we got R-E-S-P-C-T. Come on. I know, it'll be a high. And we want some respect. Just a little bit. Get a little respect in the house. Can I please get some respect? The Bible says when we live our life in faith, we garner respect. We receive respect. You want people to respect you in your business? Be a man of faith. You want people to respect you? Be a woman of faith. On your job, in your home, in your community, in your church, in your family, the more I live out my life as a person of faith, the Bible says I gain the respect of others. My reputation gets elevated. Even when I've blown it, even when I've made big mistakes, if I will walk my life in faith, God rebuilds my reputation. God rebuilds my reputation as a person of faith. See, learn to lift your head up. Learn to believe, God, you got a better day waiting for me. Learn to believe. And see, as we study out these people who the New Testament mentions as great heroes of the faith in the Old Testament, they name some great people there, such as Noah and Moses and Abraham and Sarah and a bunch of others. And we kind of refer to it jokingly as the Hall of Fame of faith. If the New Testament mentions some of these Old Testament Hall of Famers, can I tell you, in the New Testament, as they talk about them, you're just seeing their Instagram post. You're just getting the highlight reel. You're not getting the real true person. I dare you to take some of these people and go back and read their life story in the Old Testament. They were messed up people just like you and me. They made some really big mistakes. I mean, it talks about people like Abraham and Sarah. Remember them? Yeah. God's going to make you a great man and woman of faith. You're going to be the father and mother of many nations. You're going to have a son, even though you're way past childbearing years. I'm going to bless you with a son, and you're going to become the father of many nations. You don't have a son, I know. You can't have children, I know, but I'm going to make you have children. Hallelujah. Time goes by. God doesn't answer the prayer yet. And so Sarah's like, hey, Abraham, I got this great idea. Abraham's like, what? Well, listen, I was thinking, if you sleep with my maid, she's young enough to give you a child. And he goes, let me pray about this. Hallelujah, I'll do it, honey, if it makes you happy. It makes you happy, honey, anything for you. I mean, and he decides it's her idea. No one says whether or not she consented. I mean, it's a whole different story, a whole different message altogether. She gets pregnant. Yeah, you see the baby drama happening, mother drama and daddy drama, all that stuff. It's a mess. Crazy. These are our heroes. Noah built the ark. He was found faithful to the Lord, saved his family from the flood, gets out of the flood to restart it over again. And the Bible says Noah got completely wasted. He got drunk. And not only did he get drunk, he got completely naked in front of his whole family. This is our hero. I mean, these people, we can just go on, we can go through the whole Old Testament heroes, and I can tell you almost every one of them got a shocking story that would make Jerry Springer blush. They were messed up people just like you and me. But look at this statement today. You got to understand this. God doesn't celebrate your failures. He celebrates your faith. That sets you free today. God doesn't celebrate. We don't see that in the New Testament. They're not mentioned about all their failures. They're only being mentioned because of their faith. You know who celebrates our failures? We do. We celebrate our failures. We get up thinking about it. We get up talking about it. We get up posting about it. We post about it. We talk about it. We bring it up. Pretty soon, we told everybody about all our mistakes. We told people we shouldn't tell. We spill our beans out to everybody that's out there. Here's my business. Pretty soon, we're the victim all the time. I've blown it. You've blown it. And we remember our failures every day. God can't use me. I've blown it. Oh, woe is me. When the Bible says God doesn't condemn us, God forgives us, takes our sin when we confess it to him, it says he will what? He will cast it as far as the east is from the west. That he will make it white as snow by the blood of Jesus. Never be brought back up into God's memory again. That's the kind of God we serve. No condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. You know who the Bible says accuses us of our past? Satan. You and Satan working together. I don't know about you. That's not a good combination. But when I choose to walk in faith, God, I have blown it, but God, you are my restorer. God, you are restoring my life. You're restoring my family. You're restoring my future. Thank God that God is doing something in our life. When was the last time you really looked up? When was the last time you really began to walk around and just take in, God, show me your glory. God, let me see the beauty of your glory. God, I'm looking for a brighter day. God, I'm expecting good things of you today. God, thank you for your presence. God, may I feel your presence in everything I see today. God, I'm expecting you to bring somebody I can bless today. God, I believe you're going to bring somebody I can encourage today. When's the last time you walked around really looking up and didn't have our head buried in our phone or buried in our problems? Stop beating yourself up day after day for something God has already forgiven you about. Apologize to the people you need to apologize to. You repent to the Lord, and then you move forward, letting God grow you in faith. The more you stare at your problems, the more you stare at your mistake, what happens? They little to everybody else, but the more you stare at them, they grow and grow. And pretty soon, that's all you can see. They look so big to you. Yeah, they do, because you stare at them 24/7. You talk about them 24/7. Give them to the Lord and walk in faith. Look at 1 Peter 5:7. This is so good. Give all your worries and cares to Facebook, because Facebook cares about you. Oh, no, that's not it. How does it read? Let's read it together. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. I wonder how many of us understand this. Many of us, we cast all of our worries, all of our drama, all of our cares on social media. Can I tell you something today? Can I be really honest with you today? Let's pull in. I'm gonna burst someone's bubble, I know. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. Listen to me. People really don't care about you on Facebook. I know, shocker. But I got 3,500 friends. And probably three of them really care about you closely. I'm not saying there's not people who don't care about you, but let's be honest, 95% of them really, they got enough problems of their own. They're just not going to take on anybody else's. You know who cares about you? God. You know who really cares about you? God. You know who died for you? God. You know who wants to carry those problems? God. You know who wants to make your burdens lighter? God. You know who wants to forgive you of your past? God. You know who wants to heal you of your mistakes? God. It's God. He's the one. The Bible says he's the one who cares for you. So why do we cast our cares to everybody else first? And then when we're like, man, I don't know what else to do. I guess I better go to church. I guess I better pray and ask God to help me. You think? And what I'm trying to get, see, faith mentality changes that up. Faith mentality says, no, as soon as I face the struggle, as soon as I see the problem, my first thing is, God, it's in your hands. God, I'm trusting you. God, I need your help. God, can you carry it for me? That's the first place I go. That should be, that's what faith is. Faith says I go to God first. My first choice. Don't make it your last choice. And then number two, not only do we lift up our head, but we learn to stand up. Stand up in faith. Romans 5:2. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. Wow. Where we now stand. Where we now stand. Where we now stand. And we are confidently what? And joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We walk in confidence and joy when we walk in faith. Faith produces confidence and joy. Some of you need a dose of confidence and a dose of joy. Learn to walk in faith. It comes. We can stand there. Faith produces this kind of things. And how do we get there, though? Well, let me give you a theology lesson real quickly that tells us how we can walk in confidence and joy through our faith. We understand by faith we have received this. I was once, look at this, we were once captive. I was once held captive by my sin. I was held captive. I was in bondage. My life was headed for hell. My life was living for myself, and I was captive to me. But Jesus Christ on the cross forgave me of my sins. And when I confessed him as Lord, he freed me out of my captivity. He forgave me my sins, and he bought me back with a price. He redeemed me. It's called redemption. I was accused. You were accused. The Bible says the enemy, Satan, is the accuser of the brethren. I was accused. And they had every reason to accuse me because we were living in our sin. We were sinners before we knew God. We were sinners and we were accused. But because of Jesus, Jesus affirmed us. Jesus forgave us, and now we are justified. It's called justification. I was cut out of God's blessing. I was cut out of God's family because of my sin separated me from God. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, I've now been cut in to the relationship with God. Now I'm brought in to the blessing. Now I'm brought in to the family of God. Now I'm brought in through reconciliation of what Jesus did. This is why and how we can stand in faith. I don't stand in faith because I blew it. I stand in faith that his grace was sufficient for me. I stand in faith because even though I failed, God, you've been faithful time and time again. I have been redeemed. I stand up. I have been justified by God. I stand up. I can stand because I have been reconciled back to God. This allows me to stand. No longer am I a stranger. No longer am I an outsider, but now I'm called son and daughter of the Most High. And the cross allows me to stand with confidence, to stand in faith. What's the problem? You got to get this last point. Faith is more than just a feeling. Turn to your neighbor and say, more than a feeling. Come on now. I know you're wanting to sing it really loud. Faith is more than a feeling. This is where we struggle. Let's be honest. You and I, this is where we struggle day by day. This is our true struggle, that we use faith when we feel good. We use faith when we feel blessed. We use faith when we feel God near. And we don't use faith when we feel lost, when we feel hurt, when we feel discouraged, we feel isolated and alone, then we don't walk in faith. But see, faith is more than a feeling. Faith stands up in the middle of my fears, in the middle of my doubt, and even in the middle of my failures, and declares, God, you have already affirmed me. God, you have already saved me. God, you have already redeemed me. God, you have already blessed me. Whom shall I fear? If God be for me, who can be against me? When I stand up and I see the enemy attacking, and my eyes see that, but my spiritual eyes say, you know what? The enemy may have me surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, God. The enemy may be shooting weapons my way, but no weapon formed against me will prosper in the name of the Lord. You got to learn to declare and stand up in faith and speak into the spiritual realm what God has already spoken over you, over your mind, over your family, over your health, over your finances, over your marriage. So, Pastor, how do I do this? How do I live out bold faith? We look up. And we stand up. Look up, I'm expecting God's best. Look up, and then I stand up in faith, boldly. I worship in faith when I don't feel like it. I pray in faith when I don't feel like it. I give in faith when I don't feel like it. I serve in faith when I don't feel like it. And I learn to walk in faith every single day. Why do I need to develop bold faith? So I can receive undeserved privilege and favor. I want to be highly favored of the Lord. I want to walk in this undeserved privilege. I have. How about you? He's been better to me than I deserve. Why? Because of my faith, not because of my failures. I can promise you that. Because of my faith. How about you? This is the way I want to live my life.